Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 23 of the Webcomic Beacon. This is Fess of Fessrix.com, and with me, Tanya of Betapone.com.
Hello, hello.
We got Aaron of T-BowlComic.com.
Hello.
And also today we have Mark of AutumnLake.com.
Hello.
And this week we are talking about newspaper-styled webcomics. For the most part, I'm pretty sure that we've all seen newspaper comics, particularly the dailies. Simple 3, 4, maybe 5 squished panels long, maybe about, 8 inches across max, 3 inches high or something. Typically black and white, though. In recent days, they've actually added color to the dailies for at least some newspapers. I know that. Do the newspapers you guys have colorized dailies now?
I don't buy the newspaper.
No.
No, they don't?
No, not the local rag we have. It's kind of, you have like maybe half a page of funnies and that's it.
Oh, that sucks. A bunch of dumb crosswords and Sudoku probably.
Yeah, that's in there. They have Kathy and Garfield and that's all I know, so I don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't buy that either. Now, particularly when I was thinking about the idea for this show was like kind of like the old school newspaper style, which would be more of the black and white, not the color dependent ones. But hey, whatever. There are several webcomics out there that make their comic in this style. What are some of the reasonings that you think that people, while free on the web, may choose to do it like in this way?
I started out mine that way because it's the only way I knew how to do it. And then a little while in, I realized I wanted to print them, and so I had to switch. But I think some people just like it because it's really, really easy to just do 4 panels left to right. You can fit it on a page and no scrolling and make them all the same size and call it good. It's just a nice format, I think.
And it's familiar. You know that your audience, it's not in any way avant-garde and artsy. They're going to know exactly what to expect. They know how to read the comic. There's not any confusion. And a lot of times, familiarity is enough to breed, kind of a loyalty and a good reader base. It's a good format. It's a format that works. It's worked for many, many years.
But also, you're in print, you're restricted to size and a particular size because they need to fit all that they need to fit on there.
Right.
So why continue doing that with the freeness of the web? Mark, did you have a comment on this? Or?
Well, I think it, especially if you're doing a gag comic, it's really almost the perfect formula for a gag comic because you have the opportunity to do a setup for the gag, hit the punchline, and then either in the next to the last panel or then you see the results of it in the last panel. So I think mechanically it works very well. And again, it's a known quantity. It's just very familiar and there's no, you don't need special directions to figure out which panel you're supposed to go to next. I've read a couple comics like that where it's all interactive and you have to do all this scrolly stuff. But I think it's mostly it's just really built better for a gag comic than anything else.
I can see that.
Yeah, because I think if you're trying to tell like an actual story, it'd be more difficult. Like if I did my episodes 4 a week, my story would take an eternity. So
yeah, I think your pacing drags to an eternal crawl if you're trying to, especially drama comics. I never understood in the newspapers the drama comics where you're getting these little tiny tidbits, you know, one day at a time, and it takes you a year and a half to advance through a plot, like soap operas. You know, you watch one, and then a year later, you watch the next one, and you know what's going on still. It's, you know, it's painfully slow. But, you know, like Mark said, for gag comics, it's excellent. You have introduction, setup, conclusion. You're done.
Yeah.
You know, it makes perfect sense. And there are a number of comics on the web who are also published in newspapers or who want to be published in newspapers. So it makes sense for them to keep a format that's going to translate.
Right. I guess that was mostly what I was thinking, but I didn't want to do all the talking for a change since I usually blather on. Are there any particular comics that you guys want to talk about first that sit into this newspaper style?
The two in that style I usually read is Chip Shop and Station V3. I already put both of the links and talks to you, but they both do that thing, you know, it's like intro, setup, joke. That's cool.
I just realized I don't read any black and white comics in newspaper style. I read Abel and Baker, which is, you know, again, the perfect format. Setup, punch. Also, I think you could probably put Candy in that category. Kevin and Kel, definitely. I know there's another one, but those are the three that come immediately to mind. Other than, of course, Autumn Lake.
Oh, I thought you were going to read that.
I know Kevin and Kel is also syndicated, so it wouldn't make sense for him to do one style for the web and another for the. For the newspaper. That's just doubling your work.
Yeah, I think of, you have, oh, Count Your Sheep follows that. He has a three-panel format most of the time.
Is that the one that's, like, really blue?
Yeah, that's the one all in blue. You know, you use blues and sometimes magentas, but mostly blue.
Right.
Thorn certainly is definitely a newspaper-style comic.
Yeah.
Even Penny Arcade. I mean, if you look at Penny Arcade, it's three panels. Setup, punchline.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if a newspaper printing press could print the colors the way that they do them, though. So, but yeah, it's still the same size and such. So
that would probably actually work in black and white if they just ran it straight in black and white or with the gray shading in print.
Right.
Yeah, I think because of the way he does his line work, it'd translate fine. And actually, when you bleed the color from comics that do vector or digital line work, the line work looks really, really good. So, I mean, it could be done. I think they'd have a problem with their height. Most newspapers don't work with a height like Penny Arcade in format. And it's a good comedic format.
Or all the people who copy Penny Arcade.
There you go.
You could probably have a phone book listing of newspaper style strips if you want to count those. But.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. It wouldn't be a good listing, but it'd be a listing.
I make no claim of it being a good listing.
Let's see. There's a couple that I read one I think was or is a print comic that's also produced on the web. Has anyone ever read Sabrina Online?
No.
Not familiar with that
one. Sabrina Online, I think, was originally a Sabrina webcomic. A Sabrina comic that was published in an Amiga magazine at one point, and then he would collect all of them and put them on the web, I think, at the end of the month. I think that's how it was. But that's done in a style like in a, you know, newspaper style, and the guy sticks with it for, how long has he been going for? Over 10 years, I think.
Nice.
Wow.
But let's see, another one. I mentioned this actually a lot on the show, I guess, is Out There.
Yeah, Out There is an excellent example.
Which, I thought that, you know, he actually did have some, you know, professional experience with printing, but I guess I was wrong about that. But, I mean, when I look at it, it's like, you know, I can definitely see how this could be in any newspaper, really. It's got funny, it's got some drama in it, you know, it has a little bit for everybody, but also, like, the art styling, I think, is you know, well coordinated to for a newspaper, so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just for, you know, the basic black and white. Well, not basic black and white, because, you know, there's crotch hashing and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, we got you.
Zebra Girl, I guess, used to do it more in a newspaper style, and now he's switched to a full page style.
Mm-hmm.
Mad
Scott Comics.
Which one?
Mad Scott Comics. Those are all newspaper style. We've had him on the show.
Yeah, I tried to see if I could get a couple other people for the show, so I just got rain checks for right now. Oh, well. I guess Freefall is another one that could be chalked up to a newspaper style. The guy does it in mostly a black and white with minimal grayscale, I guess, but I think a fan has been coloring it for the past couple of years or something like that. But the color looks really good, but this guy does it, like, you know, a lot of dates, and he's been online for a long time. So, but, you know, it's always the same format. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Awesome. We also have Lab Rats, Lee Second. And actually, this is another good point with Least I Could Do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to talk about newspaper format, you also have to talk about content. There are a number of web comics that, while they have the introduction setup punch and that nice, you know, the same four panels, panel construction every day, the content will never be syndicated. It's not appropriate for general readership. And there are a number of comics that fit that. I mean, even Penny Arcade would never be printed. You're not going to see that in the Boston Globe. It's not going to happen.
You sure?
At least I could do. I would be astonished. Their stock would fall through the floor.
I wouldn't say digital. If anyone can do it, they can.
Yeah, they just have to modify their content slightly.
I can see campus papers, certainly like The Onion, anything where it's understood that the content would be, you know, could be a little racy.
Right, right.
But for your local run-of-the-mill newspapers, Least I Could Do is way out of bounds.
Right, right.
You know, when there's a condom in the title, that's not a good sign. You know, that's the title graphic should not include prophylactics for regular readership. So,
Unless they really wanted to have like two versions and water it down like Diesel Sweeties.
Yeah.
But they would probably have less work to do, I would think, than Diesel Sweeties to make a second version of it.
We got someone in the chat talking about, but that's, what is his name? Nismorak? Saying that, but that's the point of webcomics, being able to deliver content newspapers won't print. He doesn't like newspaper comics because they aren't funny. Well, that's a little bit more subjective than the prior comment, but.
Well, and I don't read newspaper comics because they're not impressive enough. It's like, I kind of read it and go, huh, nice.
I don't read newspaper comics because I don't get newspapers, so.
Well, they're available, like at work.
They're online. They're online too. Yeah, I generally, when I read them, it's on the comics curmudgeon.
Yeah.
So I can see how they're lampooned.
Yeah. I think I've been indoctrinated too much in the web world. Regular comics don't do it for me anymore. They're not shocking, they're not provocative, they're not, I don't know.
Well, speaking of which, okay, how many newspaper comics that have been also put to the web do you read? Because I honestly don't read any of them.
I don't.
The only one I would know about is Dilbert is the only one
I know. Occasionally I'll read one if someone like links it to me.
Yeah, that's the only time I read them too, but that's the only one I can think of that's been actually kicked over to the web, you know?
Do you think we just avoid them on purpose or just we don't care?
No, I think they just aren't out there.
They're there. I mean, you can get Kathy and Garfield and all the standards online. I just don't. They're available. They're just not funny. I don't read them.
Yeah, well, it's totally true. Well, I miss Farside. I mean, I wish they would put all the Farsides on the web.
You need to buy all of the various licensed merchandise that they have for you to buy.
I've paid for those so many times over the years.
Right. And why would they offer it free for people?
I've already paid.
I have the Calvin and Hobbes set, so I've paid my share.
Do you have the bound set? The 3-volume bound set?
Indeed I do.
I have that too. Mostly because all the other ones were destroyed in a water damage mold.
I'm trying to argue I can write that off of my taxes as research material.
Well, don't announce it.
Library. Yeah.
Like the IRS is listening to this.
They might be. You never know. There are some very funny IRS people.
They're the only, I guess, newspaper comic that I read in some form is Garfield, but that's not really Garfield because it's Garfield minus Garfield. TUMBLER.com, which
that is not Garfield.
Which is much better. It's
very funny.
In fact, it's awesomer than Garfield.
Awesomer.
It's kind of sad though, but it's
it is
better.
It's sort of tragically funny.
Yeah. I don't usually like to laugh at other people's, you know, misfortune, but.
Oh, he has only fortune, not misfortune. Jim Davis, I mean, he forms that out to a... He doesn't even draw it or write it anymore. He doesn't do anything with it anymore.
He just collects
it's all done
the
by a panel. Yeah, he just collects the royalties, pretty much, and he runs his company, and that's what he does.
I meant John's misfortune, not
yeah,
Jim's.
The character's misfortune. Yeah, because the minus Garfield is a bit sad.
Very.
But it's like Saturday morning breakfast cereal sad. Like, you know, it's funny because it's so tragic. And here's another one. I know, Fess, that you just love single panel comics, but they're also a recognized newspaper format.
They're an okay
Oop,
comic art.
Family Circle. So what?
Oh yeah, that's a really good one. No,
I didn't say it was great.
No, the only way I consider a single panel comic to be a comic is if more or less of the time they will relate to one another in a series in the archives. If you got single panel gags and they never relate to each other, that's a collection of comic art, I would have to say.
Well, but that isn't what they call them in the newspaper.
Well, the newspaper.
They're the comic strip.
Newspapers limited in what they can do, I guess.
See, there you go. We're talking about newspaper comics.
Newspaper.
You know, I'm just going to bring it up.
Yeah. I mean, this is me mostly arguing semantics. My opinion isn't saying whether or not
it's not a comic strip because there's no strip involved.
Yeah, there's no strip involved. It's not a comic strip.
That's a very hard the one panel thing. I envy the guys that can do that. Not Family Circus because that's crap, but like Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal, where it's always funny. Book of Biff, things
insane.
Like I mean, it's really hard to do if you've never tried to do it. I can't pull it off. I need the 3 panels.
I tried for about 6 months and I finally gave up and now I've turned it into, you know, 3 to 4 panels. I can't do it. It's not funny ever.
I have a single panel comic that I do sometimes and it always cracks me up.
That is an excellent endorsement.
that's almost like, but my mom says I'm cool.
Oh, that was harsh.
I'm just...
I fully admit that my single panels were crap. I didn't even think they were funny. I don't understand. I'm with you, Mark. Kudos to anyone that can write those things.
Oh, yeah. And consistently well.
Yeah.
I cannot even imagine. I'm just so set. I need my fix of multi-panels. I can't just mainline one panel.
Mainline.
So to speak, metaphorically.
Right.
I would be interested in the process, though.
Amy, who called in last week, says that her guinea pig pees in her newspapers.
Excellent. My rat also urinates on recycled newspaper. That is wonderful. That's what newspapers are good for.
Cool.
Finding animal cages.
Well, I think you're going to find that the newspapers are pretty much, within the next 20 years, they're going to be all digital. All you're going to have are like little community newspapers. So they already know that, and they're trying to figure out how to make the digital world profitable for the paper.
Didn't Amazon.com release that Kaboodle or something?
Or the Kindle?
Yeah.
The Kindle?
Isn't that kind of in the same direction?
Yeah, it's the same kind of idea, the digital paper, where you can read articles and stuff on a PDA is essentially all it is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, eventually everything's going to go digital anyway, so you will have the color comics and all of that on a daily basis. Because really, the internet is way better at delivering the funnies. And in the newspaper, they only have so much space, and that space is getting smaller all the time as they try to fit more ads in. And the price of newspaper itself, the material, and the labor costs involved, it's astronomical, and it's just getting more and more expensive. So you see the funnies getting shrunk down smaller and smaller and smaller, so you can't even see them. There's no detail. There's no... It's not like the cartoons even in the, I don't know, 60s, where you could have all kinds of stunning detail going on in the artwork, and you can't do that anymore.
No.
You can't do that anymore. So it's only a matter of time before they all become webcomics. Even Blondie and things like that are going to be webcomics one day.
Well, and I know, like, Scott Kurtz of PvP sort of has this dream, you know, he wants to be syndicated in newspapers, and... I feel sorry for anyone if that is their dream. They've gotten so restrictive because, like you said, they don't have the space, they don't have the money, and, you know, everything has to be so washed. You can't have the detail, you can't have, and then you have the content restrictions, and people complain, and, you know, it's a mess. I don't see how they're still alive now. Honestly.
Well,
people still buy it.
Yeah, people still buy the newspapers, but that's shrinking all the time. And their audience, their market audience, it skews older. And so that audience is getting smaller over time as well.
Yeah.
I think they should just add more comics to newspapers so people will buy them more. Because that's the only thing I ever bought newspapers for, was really for the comics. It's Sunday.
It's true.
Go get the paper. The comics. Well, and there's ads, too. And it's like, there's this news. It's like, well, this is on TV.
It's true. I mean, that's what saved the newspapers in, I don't know what, the early 1900s were the comics.
Yeah.
Because everybody loved the comics, and they were buying the newspapers to get the comics. And
they weren't getting them anywhere else.
And they don't, the comics really don't get the respect they deserve. And the artists don't really make the money you think they make, unless it's something like Bondi. Something like Blondie's in 3,000 newspapers, let's say.
Yeah.
And he's actually making pretty good money. Whereas you have some smaller ones, newer ones starting out, they don't make anything. And in fact, I just read about one called Pretina, where the artist had to quit doing it, and now she's going to go work for some conference center because she can make a living doing that.
Yeah. It is pretty sad. If you're not syndicated in a large number of newspapers, you're not even paying for your time, let alone any other expenses.
Right.
So it's not a profitable industry right now. And there are a number of people, you know, making more money with their comics on the web than they would in print. So
I was wondering then, they obviously make probably less than a tenth of a penny in every not even that, like a hundredth of a penny of every newspaper their comic appears in.
But well, they make.
But with Project Wonderful,
I don't think it's a portion of a penny a day.
One penny a day with Project Wonderful. That's.
That's probably more.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, the cartoonist gets. Let me see if I remember this right, because I remember reading about it, because once upon a time I was interested in it. Say, Sally Forth, let's say.
Right.
A newspaper pays $15 to run that. $15 a week.
Right.
The syndicate takes half. The creative team, it's two people actually, so they have to split the other half. And that's what they get.
$7.50
a week out of every newspaper that it's in.
So if you're in the Chicago Tribune and the Times call, you get $15.
It might skew more for a newspaper with bigger circulation, but essentially you're talking about $15,000 a year or something like that.
Nice. You
and
can make more than that at Burger King.
There's no Benny's either. There's no health.
There's insurance. No benefits because you're a contractor. So yeah, get a job at McDonald's.
Fire. Yeah.
Well, there's another webcomic right now that is utilizing the newspaper style, I guess, or the size anyway, and that is the Guest Strip Project.
Woohoo!
And actually, I don't know. I wonder if he'd allow something that goes a little bit different, unless he's keeping it all the same size. But this is something after the break. This is something we recorded last week, actually. So this poor segue would mean that the next time you hear us on the other side of the break, we'll be talking with Michael Raustein, who's running the Guest Strip Project at gueststripproject.co.uk. And we'll see you in the last third of the show.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
I'm mentally insane at this time of night. Actually, I'm mentally insane as soon as I wake up, so I'll warn you.
Alrighty then. Everybody, welcome to the show. Mark Raustein. Michael Raustein.
Oh, you got it!
Oh!
I got the first name wrong, but the last name right.
You got the first name right and the last name wrong, I'm sure.
No, the other way around.
Just call me Mike.
Alright, Mike.
Hello.
Welcome to the Webcomic Beacon.
Hello.
We a few shows back we mentioned Tanya mentioned the guest strip project, and
yes, and if I remember correctly, I stole the idea from some people.
Me, you stole it from me.
Ah, I see. Well, you know, you should always like sort of close down your email. That's what I say.
Never let me talk. I know.
So there's been other people that have done an entire guest strip webcomic, you're saying, before?
No, you. Well, I don't know. I haven't really seen much of just sort of guest strips on their own in webcomics. I think there was one ages ago, or it's still going on. They do it for children.
Okay.
I think it is. Teach them, obviously, how to sort of create comics. And what they do is they get sort of artists together just to do like sort of strips or use their strips and just blank the speech bubbles out.
Okay.
And get kids to actually, you know, write in their own words and try to make a story. It's quite cool, actually.
Oh, cool.
It's called Comic Libs.
Yeah.
Comic Libs.
I think somebody once emailed me a link to a comic that went entirely on guest strips, but I can't find it at this moment. So, but I'm sure in post I'll find it.
gueststrips.com, I think it is the... is it .co.uk? Sorry, I was plugging my own there, you see.
Well, you're free to plug your own.
Am I? Oh,
so we have... well, first off, we do have the Guest Strip project, which can be found at muvok.co.uk/GSP. And what other sites do you currently have for, you know, other stuff you want to plug real quick?
Well, I don't have that many anymore. I usually do the Tastefully Done calendar. That's like sort of comes out around about November, December time. We had the kids' book project last year. I'm trying to think. I've not really been doing that much of late. But I'm starting a new project next year, so that's going to be quite interesting. So that's going to be a competition for webcomic artists all around the world. So that'll be quite cool.
Cool. So tell us a little bit about the Guest Strip project. What is it?
Well, basically, the Guest Strip project is exactly that. It's basically, for a whole year, we're going to do a webcomic based solely on guest strips. So the whole concept behind it was done by Christopher Baldwin, who started off the first strip. And he basically wanted some ideas, so I told him a bit about my life, what I'm like. And from there, he basically created the characters that you see. And then from there, I've basically had a no-holds-barred policy. Whatever goes, goes. You know, obviously, their name is attached to it, so if they do something really, really rotten, then obviously, you know, people are going to be hopefully picking on them. But so far, I've had a few emails saying it's too picking on the gay man. So, but... I'm a gay man myself. I don't see the problem with it. I laugh at most of the jokes regarding us gays, as it were. So,
you know, they were Americans, huh?
That's it. That's it. Exactly.
We get a bit touchy. We do.
Well, I think it's all these parades we have.
Is it the parades? There's just spangle spandex everywhere, and
I just don't like the roads being shut down all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. People just get the wrong idea. I think it's because, you know, if you put a black guy in a webcomic, obviously you can't pick on him because he's black. If you put a gay man in a webcomic, you can't pick on him because he's gay. But you can pick on the straight guys. The straight guys are perfectly fine.
Double,
you know,
standard.
White guys are everyone.
That's it. Pick on them, but you know, pick on the like sort of minorities. Ooh,
it's an oversensitivity. You know what I mean?
It's like exactly
it's
that's
knee jerk reflex.
And it's like that with everything. It's like that with racism, hardcore. It's like people are too afraid to say anything now. Mm. You know, because of the overkill 30, 40 years ago, whatever.
If anyone's going to just freak out,
is that the Ku Klux Klan you're on about though, or what?
Uh oh, jeez. Uh oh.
Yeah, but yeah. Wonder why you're wearing all white.
I have no problem with anyone on this planet. Okay.
Oh, I have a problem with some people. Totally.
Really?
Well, except for
I have a problem with the people who hate other people for stupid reasons. So I'm an istist.
Now see, Brett Butler had one of my favorite quotes. I hate bigots so much I've become one. That's absolutely it.
Well, that's it. People just, I don't know, because you're in a minority, you know, you can't be picked on. Why not? You know, it's like that, I think it might be last year or the year before, someone did a comic or something that was picking on a religion. And it was like, you know, they said it was blasphemy and all this, that and the other, and there was a huge major row over it. And it was just like, you know, it's... Okay, yeah, it might not have been great, but it's humor. You can't really sort of stop someone from being humorous. You watch sitcoms all over the place, and you know they pick on religion, Britney Spears, and all the rest of them. And you know why can't you pick on some minorities? You know, don't go. There is a line, obviously, that you can't cross. Obviously, I have been making sure that the line is not crossed in these strips, but you know. Why not have some fun? Dance around the line. That's what I always say.
And I think that's why things like South Park are popular. As long as you make fun of everyone equally and equally horribly.
Oh, jeez.
You're fine.
Yeah,
well, it was getting...
They didn't get away with either. Like, they had Muhammad in an episode a long, long, long time ago.
Well, yeah.
After some things happened, they couldn't put him in the comic anymore. Yeah. So they had.
Well, it's because they.
And this is all what we're talking about with the guest strip project, which apparently is benefiting the Make a Wish Foundation. And thanks for not being so. if I can bring this full circle. So what is the benefiting the Make a Wish Foundation with guest strip project? How did that come about, and how does it work?
Well, there's always been two charities that I've gone for. Cancer research, because my mum was diagnosed with cancer a few years back. She had it in her womb, and they luckily, touch wood, she is like sort of past that stage, and she doesn't have it anymore. But obviously, you know, I'm a big supporter of cancer, and I'm also I'm a cub leader as well, so I'm a big supporter of, you know, looking after kids, you know. And I was watching the film Patch Adams. And in that, the kids that are in that are actually diagnosed terminally ill. And they only got there because of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, because they, one of their wishes was they were would appear in a film. So that's what the Make-A-Wish did. And with the Tastefully Done calendars, it was mainly doing it for cancer research in the UK, because there's not an international cancer research charity that I knew of. So we only did it for the UK. So when I got around to doing the kids' book project, I wanted it something international. And so the Make-A-Wish International Foundation happened. And then so when that finished, I thought, well, the guest strip project might as well like sort of carry on that stand, as it were, and support the Make-A-Wish Foundation. The same will go on with, obviously, my next project next year, which will do the same, which will support the Make-A-Wish International Foundation and hopefully, you know, generate a lot of money that, you know, will help kids in the future or, you know, whenever they need it.
Well, awesome.
I try.
And
I've already signed up for it, so there.
I need to sign up for it. I need to do. Well, I'm usually really crappy stuff, but you know, I could sign up for it too.
There's a huge list by the side of me. I've post-it notes and pieces of paper up. I've already got Tastefully Done 2009, all the artists that are going to be contributing there. I've got every single artist that has signed up for the guest strip project. And then I'm sure, I haven't even tried pimping out the guest strip project and major ones. I think the only one that I was quite impressed with I got is Jeffrey Rowland, who's actually doing a strip just before his own. So he actually comes back with his own strip. So he's going to be doing one just, I think it's the day before he actually launches his relaunch, as it were.
So you already got enough people doing the guest strip all the way to the next year?
No, I've got them all at the moment in my head. I've got, I think, about 50. I need 104, I think it is. I can't remember. And then I'm also doing the Odd Sunday, which no one knows about yet. The first Sunday one comes on the 4th, because I really wanted... I'm a webcomic fanatic. Mm-hmm. I've got a wall full of webcomic memorabilia. I even paid $10 to Ryan Estrada to actually get some artwork, so I've got that to stick up on my wall as well.
Cool. And so
I wanted to also involve artists, because I've got traveling around the UK, doing some conventions here and there. I actually meet just artists who don't have webcomics, but are, you know, talented as well. So I've tried, like, sort of bringing them into the fold. So I've got a lovely lady called Katie Cook. She actually does some fantastic artwork, and she's going to actually be contributing, hopefully, as one of the Sunday strips. So I'm trying to get the artist to do, like, a proper, you know, like a newspaper Sunday strip where it's double the size instead of the, like, sort of the webcomic, like, sort of half the size, you know, as you were, you know.
Right. Let's see. Can I sign up right now? Do I have to go through the site?
I'll go through the site.
Oh, come on.
If I write your name down on a thing, I'm just going to forget where
all
you
right.
are.
Well, you sound like me. I'm looking at my desk, and I got crumpled up post-it notes all over the place.
Hey, trust
me. It's quite an organizational system.
I've got that many different things about webcomics on post-it notes. It's unbelievable. Even future projects that I'd love to do if I had the money and things like that. So it's all like sort of manic in my place. And I've also got a picture. I've also got Dr. David Tennant staring at me right now, so that's always a nice thing as well.
Yay!
So how many strips have come up so far on the guest strip project? And when did it start? And how far along has it come?
It started on April the 1st. We're up to the last strip was the 25th of April, so around about the 8th strip in. Then on the 29th, we've got Lem from the Buddy Comics. He's going to be doing his strip, but in my like sort of because I'm like a month in advance already, so we're up to the 20th of May, which is a day before my birthday as well, and 2 days before Indiana Jones comes out. So what can I say?
You know, it's important to have good calendar markers.
Well, actually, you do realise I've got a list of when all these strips are supposed to come out, and on the 18th of July, which is a Friday, the Dark Knight comes out. So I've actually put a little note: Batman comes out. So technically, the guy who's doing that strip or girl will actually know that Batman's coming out. Do something Batman-y, and then when obviously when that strip appears, everyone's going to be like, "Oh wow, it's so unique!" Not realizing it's been done a month beforehand. I mean, several thousand like sort of planning, like sort of permissions and stuff like that.
You just kind of ruined it. You just told everybody, so nobody's going to be surprised.
Well, they will be. They have to be surprised now. They'll have to go, "Oh wow, that's really interesting."
Okay, everybody,
you know?
Just pretend that you didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. Pretend you didn't hear it.
And
one of those
excuse me
visuals on the side.
Well, coffee
make
now.
Forget. It'll be our hypno bar.
No, it's right at the end of the show. You'll put like a little like sort of white noise thing, and I'll think, "Oh my god, I haven't listened to this," and start playing it again, and then you know it's going to be a rotation. The hits you'll get, my goodness,
it'll be amazing.
Yeah, go on the site and go, "Have I listened to this before?"
Awesome. Okay, so. Let's see.
Have I lost you? Sorry. Yeah,
where is my mind?
Shiny.
benefiting the Make-A-Wish Foundation, are people able to make donations through the site, or how does this work?
Well, at the moment, it is just on the advertising. Mm-hmm. There is a store at the moment, and I was talking about Katie Cook. She actually does. She goes to major conventions in the United States, and actually does like sort of caricatures of like sort of Star Wars and things like that. And she's actually done some official work for the Star Wars place. Huh. So I'm trying my best. She doesn't know it yet, but I am gonna, when it comes to her Sunday strip, I'm gonna see if she will actually do all the characters as little cards, or maybe a poster. Mm-hmm. And that will be something that I'd like to get out. And also, obviously, the kids' book project will be coming to the store. I'm actually going to be reducing the price slightly down, because obviously I have 300 left of the kids' book project, which I would like to go. And obviously, it is all donating to the Make-A-Wish Foundation now, because we've actually paid the printing costs. So every single book that I sell now is actually going towards that. Okay. And then, obviously, there will be donation buttons, etc., etc. We'll have a donation drive.
Maybe?
Possibly.
Okay.
So what is the Kids Book Project then?
The Kids Book Project last year was I got 52 webcomic artists, mm-hmm, to actually do a page in a book. And the only thing was is they could only see the page either before their own page. And we had, obviously, I gave them a week to do it in, mm-hmm, for their page. But the problem was, obviously, 52 artists, 52 pages equals 52 weeks. I couldn't wait that long. I couldn't wait a whole week. I'm very impatient, trust me. You know, if someone hasn't done their strip, they will know. They will see the amount of emails pile up in their inbox regardless. Yeah, definitely no pressure. You get like sort of one email, and then two emails the second day, three emails, and then I just spam you on the third day, you know, that was it. What I did was we split it into two groups. So the first guy actually did the first page, which was Ryan Estrada. And then from there, it went, obviously the second page did theirs, only seeing the first, and then the last page saw the first, so they kind of want, they had to create how it would end. And then basically it went, strips went forwards, strips went backwards, so page 3 could only see page 2, page 4 could only see page 3, and so on and so forth, until the guy in the middle, which I think, if memory serves me, it's either Mitch Clem or Dean Tripp, they then got to see two pages. They were the only ones that could actually see two pages, the one before and obviously the one after, and had to merge it into one. And it was quite interesting to see how the storyline changed. Because obviously, if you, in the first page, if you call your characters like sort of Phil and Bob, and then don't name them in the second page, mm-hmm. in the third page, they're not going to know the characters' names, so you can't really use them. And so it's just, you know, how it's like Chinese whispers, or if you were ever a kid at high school, we always, well, when I was a kid anyway, in the good old days, we used to have a piece of paper and we used to like sort of draw a bit of a head or something like that and then fold it over, but show you where the lines were, but not tell you what you did. And then obviously you had to create this person. Mm-hmm. It looked awful, but it was quite fun to do. And yeah. quite interesting when you were supposed to actually be doing work for a change.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in this book, you're going to be thinking you're going to put it in the store?
Well, yeah, it's been, we had tons of pre-orders last year for it, over 200 actually, so I was quite impressed with that.
How much is it going to be, do you think, when you
Well, it was originally £6, so it's £6 on the cover.
Ooh, so about 20 American, I think, I guess?
I don't know, conversion-wise. I think for a pound, you get about... I think you can buy a steak for a pound nowadays with your sort of conversion rate. I think I'm going to put it down to £4, which is about... I think it's about $8. And then there's obviously postage and packaging, so...
Right.
Okay, right, £6 is $11. £4 is $7.92.
Hey, I wasn't that bad then. £8.
Not bad at all.
Thank you. I try.
Well, I'm definitely going to buy a couple then.
The question is, why didn't you buy it before? That is the question.
I didn't know about it.
Oh, yeah.
Or I might have.
He's a slacker. He's behind.
I was trying to Google it. I don't think I found it. So,
anyway. Let's have a look.
Now I knew about it because Ed from Geek Tragedy contributed.
Yes.
So,
indeed.
I knew it because Matt from Chip Shop was on it.
Yeah, so I think most people learned because, you know, they followed one of the contributors.
Exactly. That's basically how I find it works well. And with the guest strip project, you can see it with, obviously, the statistics and people, like, sort of visiting the site. You can see where they're coming from or, you know, which site's promoting it and which site isn't. And it's quite nice to actually see that where the fans come from. And it's like I first started my sort of... with webcomics only through clicking on a link of a person saying, you know, I've done something in this book or done something there, here, there and everywhere. And that's how I started with webcomics. And it was, I think it was Little Gamers was my first ever webcomic that I did. So, yeah.
Well, cool. Well, this is some really cool information and it sounds like a great project. We'll get all these shows, we'll get all this information and links in the show notes. So you guys can check that out later. And, of course, let us know when the store's up, and we'll stick a link in the show notes whenever that episode comes out as well. Mike, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show with us.
Hey, that is all right. Anytime.
We're going to have to roll out of here. And okay.
Cat's in the oven. Got to go.
Yeah, cat's in the oven. Got to go.
Cat's been pushed in the oven. I've got to go. That's the thing.
Now we're going to get... letters from the ASPCA.
Right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, well, who knows?
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net, free hosting for free thinkers. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Mark Savory with a webcomic review.
Hello. This week, I want to bring your way a fun little number called Pixapets by Kyle Holt. This is an excellent example of a minimalist comic. One type of minimalist comic would be your typical stick figure comic. There's not too much there, just some stick figures. Likewise, a clip art comic could be considered a minimalist comic. There's not a wealth of energy being expended to create highly detailed, gorgeous panels of art. In other words, the artwork is simple, just enough to convey what the creator wants to convey, and very little else. There are no distractions to get in the way. Minimalist comics are usually humor or gag strips. It would be very difficult to do something like What Birds Know or Templar Arizona with only stick figures or clip art. Now, the people making those comics might have the skill to pull it off, but it would still be very likely extremely difficult. Minimalism is or can be a double-edged sword. It can be very effective or it can be a disaster. In order to work, a minimalist comic has to have decent writing. The gags have to work. This, by the way, is probably the chief reason why so many stick figure comics or clip art comics don't make it. Remember, above all else, if you use minimalist art, then the writing has nothing to hide behind. It has to work, and it has to be funny. Now, Pixapets is arguably a minimalist comic, but it isn't a scribble comic, not by any means. Instead, the minimalism in the art is done in a very professional illustration style, and the drawings are all original. Hoyt uses some obvious cut and paste, but not always, but he's apparently made a library of original clip art. Anyhow, it never seems to get in the way or become annoying. As any good minimalist comic will do, the artwork here shows just enough to get the gag across. There's not much in the way of frills in the backgrounds or Photoshop tricks or anything like that. The main color scheme is a pale blue, and it's very clean looking. Mostly, the three-panel strip is an empty blue stage upon which the characters will come and go as needed and bring whatever original props they need with them. The animals are cute, but it's the writing that really carries this one. Cats, rabbits, ninjas, robots, penguins, a turtle, a sad panda nobody likes, and even death, you name it. There's a little drop-down menu, so you can see samples of strips with each of these different animals and characters in them, and that's a really nice touch. The slogan at the top of the website says, "Cute comics with bite," and that's just about what sums up the humor. There's a slightly odd quality to it and a nice edge to the gags. It's sort of a pared-down Happy Tree Friends without the graphic, cartoony violence and eviscerations. Instead, the characters tend to deal in the art of the put-down. The humor doesn't always work, but then that's part and parcel with doing a gag strip. It certainly hits more often than it misses. One minor downside is the lettering, which is in sort of a handwritten, almost cursive style, mostly in lowercase. The font is white against the blue backgrounds, which helps, but it can be hard to read sometimes. Once you get used to it, though, it shouldn't pose too much of a problem. Now, I don't know why, maybe it's just me, but whenever I read this comic, I mentally hear most of the characters sounding a bit like Disney's Chip and Dale when they talk. Maybe that's because the strip is ever so slightly reminiscent of Happy Tree Friends, or maybe I've just gone a bit round the bend. I don't know, but I like the comic, and I suspect you will, too. If you're interested in this style, or if you've been toying with a minimalist approach and you want to see some examples to study, this is an excellent one to start with. And it's pretty fun, too. So do check it out at pixapets.com. That's PIXIPETS.com. I'm Mark Savory, and until we meet again, take care.
For more from Mark, visit autumnlake.com.
This is Byron of StripFight.org, bringing you the weekly ringside update. Last week, our fighters took on the challenge of the Green Monster. Round 155 featured a lineup of newcomers and veterans alike. Max took control of the fight early on. Jay Strip had the beginnings of an epic struggle. Miko hit us with a 1-2 punch, while John Strip went for the eyes. Oywin had us seeing red, and Aaron played to the crowd. In all, we had six contenders, with the highest average score of 3.14. Max of IndifferentlyEvil.com is the winner. This week's round 155, The Placebo Effect, is going on now. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round, 157, Super Villain, still has a few days left before the deadline on May 12th. Get those entries in. Stripfight.org. May the best comic win.
Hands on keyboards and...
Ready, set, go, and we're back. Does anybody really want to know what we talk about in between these breaks? Well, if that little piece made you curious, maybe you should get on to our talk show page and listen in on to our when we record and broadcast our show live. webcomicbeacon.com/live will take you to our talk show page, and from there you can sign in, open up into our talk show when on the days that we're recording and listen in. You can enjoy there's a chat for you to participate in, and sometimes you can also accept call-ins and whatnot, and our call-ins are not limited to our open forum shows. If you got something really good, hey, we can maybe get you in. So there's that.
We're flighty.
Yeah. So what did you guys think about the open forum show we had last weekend?
I thought it was fun. It was fun.
We had a lot of good participation. Again, people being too long, you know, just 2 minutes, you know, that's...
Take it.
No. No. Okay, if you guys don't know what that is all related to, listen to last week's show, episode 21.
Yeah, I haven't suddenly gone Nazi, I swear, it's related.
Aaron, what did you think about our open forum show?
It was lots and lots of fun.
You sounded more excited than that during the break.
Well, people would need to log in to TalkShoe to listen to what goes on during the break then.
You are hilarious and I adore you.
Thank you.
Oh, jeez.
It's a double plug for the TalkShoe.
Apparently. All right. Typically we have our shows on Tuesday late evenings or Sunday afternoons, which I think I'm going to try Sunday afternoons more often when we can. We're still working out some stuff behind the scenes if that sounds good. But mostly basically it's because more people can, you know, around the world can get involved on a Sunday afternoon instead of a Tuesday evening in which it's either Wednesday morning or they're have to sleep, and if you sleep, but
if you don't sleep, you should record your own podcast, and you could be just as entertaining.
Last week, we actually had a bunch of swears, and I don't even think I got them all. I'm not sure.
Nice.
I don't know if I did, because I got to the point where I said that you had a filthy effing mouth. And then you told me that you said the S word like a couple times. So it's like, wait, then I got to that point and it's like, oh crap, I missed those. So I had to go find where you said it. So I had to listen to the part of the show again. oh, but that was great.
That's so cute.
Why do I censor things? Because it's funny. Also, I like to keep it as wide of audience as possible. See, okay, for anyone listening to the show right now, the words that I censor is fucking apple.
That's just because we haven't said the rest of them yet.
I don't know. What else should we censor?
Others?
What about son of a...
That's always a good one.
We haven't said the other ones yet.
So we got...
I just did.
Fuck. Apple.
Meat crop.
What?
No.
South Park joke. Never mind.
Okay.
Would son of a chore.
It's okay.
Son of a chore. Yes, I think that should be edited out.
Okay.
You just want to be edited, that's all.
Should be edited out.
I'm just saying.
Okay. I guess
what's hilarious is that we read your comic and it's so sweet and nice, and here you are, son of a
fuck that shit.
Well, okay, we need to punch up the end of the show because the beginning was pretty lame.
now we're just gonna go off.
Okay, well, you see, I got a special situation for the word bitch. Now, if you're bitching about something, you can say bitching about stuff. But if you say like, "Hey Tanya, you're a bitch," I'm gonna censor that because that's a little like mean.
I see.
You know,
so but, it's the same rule I have with my kids. The only bad words in our house are words that are intended to hurt someone's feelings.
Aww.
Aww, isn't that nice? Yeah, oh, so really? I've got a bunch of little kids running around going, "This sucks." Yeah, it's great.
that'd be hurting people's feelings. You gotta go, "Gee, Mom, dinner's f***ing great." This is good. This is good, Mom.
Laugh so hard. How can you discipline a child for that? That's funny as hell.
Like you're raising the strap to spank them. "Oh, Mom, did you know your tits look great?" I mean, that would be. How could you hit that kid?
This conversation just shot through the fucking roof.
Just saying.
Okay, I think we need to get a little bit of that out of our system. And hopefully there should be some more swearing later on in the month. Some upcoming episodes we got. Next week should be a little bit more tame. Next week, episode 24, we'll be recording broadcasting on Tuesday, May 13th at 9 p.m. We'll be having guest Ben Carver of Point Guardian. He does a superhero comic, and we're going to be talking about inking during that show. He has been professionally trained, is what he's telling me. I'll take his word for it. Sure. All right. Cool. Let's have him on the show. Ben Carver of Point Guardian will be on the show for episode 24. The week after that, Sunday, May 18th, episode 25, we'll be doing our first community showcase. This is going to be a series of, I guess, maybe monthly showcases. In which we look at a webcomic community, talk about it. The first one we're going to be doing is the Webcomic List Forums, and mostly because that was one of the major forums and communities that I was a part of, and also where the Webcomic Beacon essentially spawned from, since most of the people on it are from the Webcomic Beacon. So, and so... The basic format of a community showcase will essentially be talking about the community, how it formed, the people that are on it. The webcomic list is a little bit an exception to what I was actually going for, which would be like going to webcomic communities that are like collections or groups of webcomics, say like the Cornstalkers, which I think is mostly a collection of Comic Genesis comics that banded together and... became a niche community, and so which I'm trying to set up to be next month's community showcase, and we'll also be talking more about the comics that are on there, and so a little bit more like a plug fest essentially, which is kind of the intent, get some webcomics known out there for some new people that are listening to the show or whatnot, people that are new to webcomics, should that check out some communities, check out some good webcomics. And we're hoping to get a lot of, for the one this month, we're hoping to get a lot of good members from the community of the webcomic, of the webcomic list, including the nefarious evil couch, to which we had a small segment on the show once back when the Webcomic Beacon was first getting started, episode 3 maybe. And then episode 26, later in the month, will be the Webcomic Brainstorm session. I think we only have one or two more sessions of that left before we have nothing left to brainstorm. It'd be going right to content and the comic itself. And then after that, we'll reevaluate how we're doing the brainstorms and seeing if there's something, if we want to do it differently or what should happen, and we'll probably get some feedback for that as well. Brain blank.
Brain planky.
Okay. Do you guys have any news?
Iron Man was really good. No, that's it. I have nothing.
Aaron, Mark, are you still there?
I have no news.
You have no views.
News.
Someone buried some news in a forum and webcomic list, and I wasn't going to look for it because they didn't make a new post. So. There you go.
Okay.
If you have news, don't bury it in a thread somewhere.
What do you mean? Like, you know, like a comics news?
Go posting your news and like buried in a thread somewhere. Make a new thread if you have important news for us to find.
Or email us.
At
webcomics.
What are you talking about? Are you talking about webcomics' forums? Or are you talking about our show's forum or what?
I'm talking on webcomic list. People will they'll have like important news on their webcomic and they'll go and post it in some other thread instead of just making a new. I made it to 2 years. Hooray.
Well, no, that you put into the check out my comic forums individual thing, and then you change the title.
That would be nice if people did that all the time.
Well, that's more we can talk about when the webcomic list showcase comes. We'll essentially have the whole show for that, because I think we'll definitely need the whole show for that. I think we're going to have a lot of people on if, you know, if everyone who showed interest actually comes onto the show, so that should be cool.
That'd be great.
Yep.
I think we're off. I think we're done with the show this week.
Hooray.
Nobody mentioned Boxcar Astronaut.
Why? What's to mention Boxcar Astronaut?
It's a newspaper-style comic.
All right, cool. Well, the last plug of the show is visit Boxcar Astronaut.
There you go.
There you go. Free publicity. like we haven't been doing all through the episodes.
The whole first part of the show was just a list of comics.
Hey,
I couldn't remember that one, and then I was like, I have it in my own links. Let me go look. Oh, that's the one.
Excellent. It's a circle now. We've come full circle. We can be done.
We can be
Kumbaya.
Done. We can get out of here on time for a change. Guys, come back next week, Tuesday, if you want to listen to the recording and broadcast of the inking episode. For now, I'm Fess.
And I'm Tanya.
And I'm Aaron.
And I'm Mark.
See you next week.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Wait, do you have any
better?
Do you have any naked pictures? Naked drawn pictures?
you know, it's not the first time I've been asked, but geez.